Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. Today we are back to discussing my favorite subject, that's Open RAN. A few weeks ago, a Canadian operator TELUS made a big splash when they announced that they'll deploy a large-scale brownfield multi-vendor virtualized Open RAN network. I know it's quite a mouthful, but each word there has its own meaning. We'll talk about that. Yeah, and more interestingly, unlike other brownfield operators, TELUS said that not only they'll have their new builds with Open RAN, but also they'll replace their existing legacy network with Open RAN. One reason being, you know, Canadian government's mandate to replace Chinese infra from their network. While that provided a great opportunity, I think TELUS's all-in move to Open RAN is a bold one and it's highly commendable. If done right, I think TELUS could pave the way and, you know, kind of construct a roadmap for many brownfield operators who are looking to deploy Open RAN in the future. So TELUS announced that its network will be multi-vendor, as in servers are coming from HPE, chips are coming from Intel, RAN software and radios are coming from Samsung, and so on. However, they did not specify the radio vendor. I think in terms of multi-vendor RAN, integrating, you know, RAN software with multiple different radio vendors is the key. So we'll talk about that. And, you know, when you're undertaking such a large challenge of, you know, deploying a large scale network with a relatively new technology, of course, there are challenges. And of course, there are, you know, equivalent rewards as well. And to discuss all of those with us, we have a special guest today. And that's none other than the CTO of TELUS, Nazim Benhadid. Nazim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Prakash. Thanks for having me.
We're really glad to have you on the show. There are a lot of questions. So let's start with some quick introductions, Nazim. Could you tell us your background? I think you spent more than 20 years of TELUS, starting at a very entry level and reaching the peak of being a CTO. Would be interesting to hear your journey during those times.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a pure TELUS product. And funny enough, that was my intent when I graduated. I really wanted to build a career with one company so that I can see at the end of my career the effect I would have had. TELUS was that. So hired fresh out of school, just to give you a little bit of history on the Canadian telecom market. It was in early 2000 with the deregulation of the market and TELUS being a Western-based carrier who was the product of the merger of several regional carriers, was looking at expanding in Montreal and Toronto. At the time, I did my capstone engineering project on MPLS, and turned out TELUS deployed the first MPLS network in North America. And since then, I worked in, you know, IP, legacy voice, access, mobility, cloud, and culminating now with my my current role of CTO.
Perfect. So that give you a, you know, all-rounded view of the business and the technology, and, you know, set you up for the CTO role, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. So so we talked about your announcement in my monologue. So what is the current status of your Open RAN, vRAN deployment? And what has your experience been so far?
It has started and we're ramping up. So far, the experience has been extremely positive. So, you know, to recap, every one of the component is from a different vendor. So far, the hardware is from HPE with an Intel chipset. The container platform is from Wind River. The network function is from Samsung. And the ORUs are both from Samsung and from a third party Canadian antenna provider that should not be named yet, because we're still going through our procurement activities. But we've tested both with Samsung radios and non-Samsung radios. We've deployed in production, and so far the results are as good or better as traditional RAN. So we're very, very pleased with where we are.
Perfect. We'll go into a little bit of a detail. as we go through the interview. So to start with, what was your biggest motivation for choosing virtualized Open RAN?
So there's a couple of dimensions to this. There's a strategic dimension and there's a tactical opportunistic dimension to it. Mm-hmm. So on the tactical opportunistic dimension, you already mentioned, we have to rip and replace our network. Mm-hmm. And if we are to do that, we thought that it would be wise to replace with the future technology versus a like for like. So, we have to do this replacement on our own dime. And there's really very little value for us by doing that. So by going into ORAN and getting the benefits of ORAN, we think we can, make good of an unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. But there's a more strategic conversation here, which is the competitivity in the OEM ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We were already a consolidated industry, but with this, what seems to be more and more, a split of, I don't know if I should call it friendshoring or having some vendors allowed in some parts of the world and some vendors not allowed in some parts of the world, mm-hmm. creates a situation of not monopoly, but it reduces competition.
Yeah.
Open RAN actually not only tackles this issue, but it creates opportunities. So now, mm-hmm. you're an expert in this domain. You know that when you go into a traditional RAN vendor, you're kind of locked in. The substitution costs are very, very high. Mm-hmm. Once you make your decision, you're kind of set for it for a period of time, regardless of, the performance or the innovation of the vendor you selected.
Correct.
With Open RAN, you have a lot more optionality.
Yeah. And in terms of cost, was that a consideration for you guys? And also when you're starting to deploy and you place orders and so on, are you looking at cost being similar to a legacy, higher or lower than that?
So it's lower than that. Mm-hmm. And we believe that we're at the beginning of the curve, mm-hmm. and that future costs are going to be lower. Not only costs of deployment, but also operational costs, both.
Yeah.
The care and feed of the network. Mm-hmm. ORAN comes with a strong framework for automation.
Yeah.
But also in terms of innovation, like if you look at one of the big costs of a wireless network is power consumption. Mm-hmm. With ORAN, with the right innovation, it allows you to really, really control how much of the power you use and what does sleep mode mean and how can you optimize that. So we're bullish on not only the benefits, the TCO benefits that we're seeing today, but also the potential for further TCO benefits.
Okay. And who is doing the system integration, which is the most challenging part in my view for Open RAN? Are you doing it yourself or your vendor doing it, or how is that?
So we're playing a point on system integration. Mm-hmm. A couple of reasons for that. First of all, if I step back a little bit and look at our journey on the telco cloud, mm-hmm. we chose very early to build a multi-tenant open telco cloud, mm-hmm. which means that we had to do some serious system integration at the time.
Okay.
And, kind of developed the muscle for that. So that's one of the reasons we decided to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Capability. But the second reason is also because very early on, we came to the conclusion that we had to pick an ecosystem of partners. Mm-hmm. And that with the right ecosystem of partners, who are open, who are willing to build affinity at the interface between their own systems, well, the integration effort would be much lower than, anticipated by the industry.
And that's what you're seeing when you're actually deploying. You don't have to do a lot of changes, other things when you're connecting these different pieces from different vendors.
No, it's fairly stable. Mm-hmm. And even integrating or testing and integrating new ORUs, we've fine-tuned the process to be able to do that within 8 weeks.
Okay.
So far we're Like, we were really nervous about this, but it turned out if you make the right decisions up front and you have the right collaboration from your partners, then the integration is something that is, I wouldn't say trivial, but definitely manageable.
Okay. And you said you did the testing in terms of performance, and then you were happy with the OpenRAN one. Did you specifically test 64TR, because you know that's has seen challenges initially in terms of providing performance across vendors? If you're cross vendor 64TR configuration and comparing that to a legacy system,
100%. So we've conducted first extensive lab testing and then field testing with you know, some sites with over 40 cells per site, and we're satisfied with the results.
Okay, so it's like a commercial grade over there testing, not just lab with one or two sites and so on.
No. We've had clusters of over 30 sites in production for a few months now. We look in the wireless world, at least in Canada, customer experience is extremely important. Like, it's a competitive differentiator, and we couldn't afford to go into production with something that wasn't extensively tested in production.
Correct. Yeah.
And so far, as I said, we're very, very happy. I mean, we did run into some things that needed adjustment. So for example, you know, external temperature in winter, but our experience is our ecosystem of vendors between the Open Radio and the rest was able to actually build code, deploy in production, and fix the issues in less than 24 hours.
Okay, perfect. That's good. Do you, as a learning, do you suggest small, medium-sized operators that they do the system integration themselves, or you would rather advise them to, you know, either get a vendor or a third party to do it for them?
I think the most important decision for them is which ecosystem do they attach to. And then, you know, if you pick the same ecosystem that we picked and other carriers, then that ecosystem, you benefit from all the work that we've already done.
Yeah, so we basically get the same chip, software, hardware, you know, in the cloud,
container platform
components. Exactly. Yeah, it's already kind of you implemented it already, so it's basically repeating the same configuration, you're saying.
100%. You know, Prakash, one of the challenges of the telco world is scale. Especially in a virtualized world. So if you look at, you know, telecom is a fraction of what IT represents in terms of compute and container platforms.
Of course.
And it's very, very fragmented.
Yeah.
A lot of proprietary protocols, a lot of the network functions not really cloud native and, you know, still attached to the hardware. And all of that creates huge inefficiencies in addition to the size of the operator. As an industry, we can only be successful, especially in a world of, you know, plateauing or declining revenue on the consumer side, if we can attach or create scale.
Yeah.
And attaching to existing ecosystem is really the best way to create scale.
Yeah, indeed. So you said you are from day one itself, you're going with the two radio vendors, not just one.
Yes.
So then how are you deciding between the vendors? I mean, is it like a geo-based decision that this market will be vendor one, that market will be vendor two? Or is it based on the configuration? How is that mix and match strategy working out?
So we plan to have a mix on every site.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, the bands and the coverage objectives, we select the best tool for that objective.
Okay. So I mean, you're looking at performance for that specific band from that specific radio vendor?
Yes, performance, cost. Better. Yes.
I see.
But that's why I call it true open run, right? So every one of our sites will have two radio vendors, both of them.
Oh, I see. Wouldn't that, you know, also bring in complexities in terms of managing and so on?
It does to a certain extent, but the benefits compensate for that. So when we look at it, you know, we want to be able to get the best TCO per site. And that's why we're looking at it this way.
And you said specifically the decision point between these two vendors is what is the performance for that specific vendor for that specific band, you're saying, or is it?
Yeah. So vendor performance per band and cost.
Yeah. Okay. because some other operators I've talked to, it's basically they divided between, okay, all, you know, 16 by 16 TR and below is one and above is another vendor and so on. And some are done geographically as well. Good. So I think the answer to this is yes, but I still have to ask. So, you know, it's Open RAN. So you are all of the interfaces that you have are O-RAN Alliance compliant. For example, if you want to introduce a third vendor in the radios, or and if you want to bring, you know, different RICs or XApps and RApps, you just plug and play. I'm sure there will be some integration in it, but that is minimal. It's all fully O-RAN Alliance compliant.
It is, yes, 100%. Although and the specifications, at least on the radio side, are mature enough for seamless integration, but there's still more standardization that's required on the RIC side and for XApps and RApps integration.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a little while. So I have some specific questions regarding that. So and you are also, you know, because of their situation, it's a rip and replace of your legacy. So which means the 4G network will also be vRAN and Open RAN. And how do you plan to do that without affecting the customer experience?
Oh, so we have a swap process on a site-by-site basis that is radio by radio. It's actually quite cumbersome, but I know some carriers will just shut down a site and create a coverage hole for the time that they do the work, but we don't. Mm-hmm. So the way we do it is, you know, we'll have the two systems present and then we'll change from one to another over a number of days.
So it's like, you know, some bands are still transmitting, you swap the other bands and then turn those on, because I mean, yes, otherwise you'll need twice the spectrum, right?
Yes.
And, you know, in terms of baseband silicon choice, as you said, you went with Intel, which, you know, has a built-in look-aside accelerator. I think you went with fourth generation, which has this V-Boost thing as well, fourth generation Xeon. And I know that Samsung also has another option, which is with Marvell, with an external inline accelerator. Did you look at both? Did they test and decide? Or, you know, what was your decision process like?
Yes.
For specifically baseband and layer one?
Yeah, so we did evaluate various options of look-aside, the inline accelerator, GPU-based design. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what we came to the conclusion, again, that it's a matter of scale. Mm-hmm. So our aim is really to standardize a compute architecture that would work across different network function. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to have customized hardware. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do, you know, to go with a CPU architecture that is pragmatic.
Okay.
We had concerns about performance, but mm-hmm. as I said, you know, both in our lab testing and in our field production trials, those concerns of performance did not, you know, turn out to be actual problems. So we're very happy with our choice.
Okay, very well. And in terms of the system integration, was it mostly interaction and working with your direct vendors, or did you have to go back to Intel as well, work with them to make sure everything works fine?
For the most part, we worked with the vendors. I mean, we have conversations with Intel for, mm-hmm. You know, future-looking projects, but for the most part, you know, Intel supported directly our partners.
Okay, all right, that's good to know. Okay, so about the, you know, the SMO part, XAPRIC and other things. So you are the first one to deploy Samsung's SMO, and how was the experience? What all were the objectives? What all were you able to achieve, and or rather planning to achieve? What all things you are planning to use the SMO for? Is it RAN only, or it's across the stack, and so on?
So, but first of all, as I was saying, you know, first of all, it's a tool of tools, right? Like that's how we think about it. Mm-hmm. It's correct. A framework, and yeah. You know, some components of SMO as a framework are things that we are already using in our telco cloud. So we really favor mm-hmm. horizontal scaling and reusing as much as possible. And you know, some components are still there's still more standardization. Uh-huh. So you know,
okay,
between the DU and the non-real-time RIC, the O1 interface is
yeah.
somehow mature. there's still a gap in E2 between the DU and the near real time RIC.
Yeah.
So for now, we're using what's available mm-hmm. to get us started, but we are not at our final destination, if I can say it this way.
Okay. It's a work in progress, in other words.
Yeah, a work in progress, in a sense that we're contributing to the Oran Alliance, the respective groups that have to do with RIC and SMO and all of that. Mm-hmm. We are also looking at integrating, as I said, existing toolset in a horizontal scaling perspective. Mm-hmm. And we believe that, we still have at least a year before we get to the level of maturity. We can have strong opinions on the best way to do it.
Oh, okay. And are you using RIC and some apps now or?
Nothing worth mentioning for production.
Okay. So like the network going in, it's basically using the traditional system, not the SMO, the new SMO. You're using obviously your existing components that you're using with your telco cloud, but for the new Open RAN system as such, it's still using the legacy approach, correct?
We are leveraging some of the components of the SMO from Samsung.
Okay.
For automation and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's not yet something that, I would come to you and say it's groundbreaking or it's...
Okay. It's very early stages, right?
But yes.
Here is huge value of Open RAN, wherein, small software vendors can come in and come up with interesting use cases, interesting tool, chain, and so on to improve the efficiency and make RAN network a little bit different than legacy. Otherwise, it's the same components with different vendors, different interfaces, but...
100%. So as much as I like the fact that now the deploy and a big part of the day two support is fully automated,
yeah,
I still think that the value will be in, added values in XApp and our apps.
Yeah.
But the market is still small, right? You have more and more carriers such as ours that are, making announcements around being ORAN supporters and, deploying it.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to create the right momentum in the market to actually start fostering innovation and seeing interesting things in this space.
Cool. So looking into the deployment and the future, so you said it's already started. What are some of the milestones in terms of timeline when you'll have substantial completion and full launch and so on?
Yeah, so as I said, we already have it in production. We buy, in a couple of months, we'll be deploying exclusively ORAN in our swap. Mm-hmm. And, what's left of our network is left basically 50%. So, by the end of next year,
okay,
we'll have, 50% of our network that is completely ORAN.
And you're saying end of 2025. Perfect. And then hopefully, the other RIC, XApp, AX will grow and then have some sort of maturity next year. So probably more to talk about then.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, thank you very much. Did we miss anything? Any other things you want to point out about your regarding your experience with Open RAN?
Nothing in particular other than, we know what traditional RAN can provide, and we know that it's been very slow.
Yeah.
That it's, in terms of innovation, that it has high lock-in, mm-hmm. has high cost, mm-hmm. and it doesn't scale.
Yeah.
So I really encourage our peers in the industry to look seriously at ORAN, true ORAN.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It works well, and the more that we invest in it, the more scale it will have, and the more it will work for all of us.
Okay, excellent, Nazim. Thank you very much. This was a great discussion, and thank you for patiently answering my questions, every little of them, and sharing your insights. And best of luck with your deployment.
Thank you, Prakash.
So, folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye bye for now.